Good evening, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Tripod. We've been waiting for this one for quite some time, but NRL is back next weekend, and we are here to give you a pre-season, or a re-season preview. We did one at the start of the NRL season. We had a couple of rounds and obviously an extended layoff, so things have changed. The season is shortened, so we're here to go through, once again, the prospects of all 16 teams, and also what we may have learnt in the first two rounds and what's changed in terms of how we can apply that to betting with the break that we've had due to coronavirus. Jacob, how are you, mate? Are you excited?
Very much so, mate. I hope you haven't gone crazy in the lockdown. These are very strange times. And as you said, if people are interested, go back and look at our season 2020 preview. A lot of it still applies. But we have seen two games, so we can talk about what we have learned in our, you know, short viewing of these teams. And of course, we want to talk about all the unique factors that are going to be in play in season 2020. Because when you have unique factors, there's an opportunity for the punter to figure out what each of those factors is worth and see if you disagree with how the market is basically pricing all of these unknowns.
It's a tricky one as well, and we will get into it. But before we get into it, Jacob, I guess we'd like to tell the listeners a big congratulations because you have recently become a father.
That's right. I'm a pod father now. So that was actually quite fortunate that happened in the lockdown phase. You know, mum did most of the hard work, but the mum and baby are going well now.
Good
so,
stuff.
It's going to be a unique season for me too. So I'll navigate it as best I can, and we can figure out how to make money for a sixth straight year.
Yes, definitely. And let's get into some of those things that you mentioned, Jacob, in terms of some differences that will be in this season. And the NRL decided in the off season that they were going to change from two on-field refs to one on-field ref, and they've explained that as cost-cutting measures, which I find strange because they're still going to have that other ref on the sidelines. But what do you make of that, Jacob? Is there any way that teams can, take advantage of that?
Yeah, I hate it, and I think they can exploit it, and maybe they think it's going to help the game flow as well, and it ties into the six again rule, which we'll touch on next. But to me, the two refs rule has worked really well because that second ref can keep a much closer eye on the ruck, and you get more of those ruck infringement calls correct, where the ball gets dislodged, was it just lost or was it stripped, those kind of penalties. I can't believe that you would reduce the quality of the game to save costs in this way. We know that every week refs make mistakes. What do you think is going to happen now when they make a mistake? Everyone will say it's because there was only one ref out there. And yeah, I just think that because the main ref is going to have to be back holding the 10 meters, smart teams will exploit pushing the limit of what they can do with their hands on the ball, especially early in the tackle count.
Yeah, and it's a funny one to me because, you know, and we'll get onto the second, well, the other rule change here now, which is that if there's a ruck infringement now, a ref can, instead of blowing a penalty and it stops the game and you kick for touch or take a tap or whatnot, they can just wave six again, and it's going to speed up the game, obviously, and it's meant to create a bit of a more free-flowing game. And what I don't understand here is, you know, that's great. You know, that should create a more free-flowing game. And I've heard a lot of analysts and experts say that there'll be a ton more points. But going back to your point, Jacob, it's going to be much tougher for the on-field ref to see those, you know, ruck infringements. So I think they've kind of, you know, it's a catch-22 here in that they've changed the six again rule to create a more free-flowing game, but one ref doesn't allow you to have that as much.
And I feel like because it is a high price to pay, especially if it's late in the tackle count, to let a team get a repeat set and potentially more than one six again through a set, and the defense has to tackle, you know, 15 to 20 times in a row, that the ref might be reluctant to actually use the six again. I don't think they're going to use it early and often. So again, there will be exploitation, as I said, especially early in the tackle count. Look, I love the concept of it. I know they rolled it out as a trial in one of the All-Star games a few years ago. I question why you want to bring it in mid-season, because I feel like it could change the game quite a lot, but maybe it won't change the game as much as people think, because I don't think refs are going to be just, you know, shooting out these six again all the time. But of course, as bettors, we've got to think that this would generally trend to more points, because it's going to mean more repeat kind of sets, less breaks, and more fatigue in the middle, which obviously teams that are faster and fitter will take advantage of.
And not only that, you've obviously got, you know, the advantages to teams with, you know, a quick dummy half or something that can take advantage of it. But I think that this, more than anything, and I think we'll see it in the first few rounds about how they're going to be, you know, judging this and adjudicating this, but I think this does, anytime you have rule changes, especially with not much time to get sorted, which is what we have exactly now, I think that does give an advantage to NRL teams with the better coaches. And I think there is, you know, that top echelon of coaches there, you know, your Bellamy's and stuff like that, that I think will figure out after a few weeks' time, you know, how they can get away with a bit more stuff. Because really, it should disadvantage teams like Melbourne that, you know, hold teams down in the ruck a little bit more. But I think, you know, those better coaches will find their way around those rules. Anything else that you reckon that is, I guess, an important factor or just like a different or unique factor heading into the resumption of season 2020, Jacob?
Yeah, got a couple more and just tell me what you reckon. But I mean, the fitness aspect, right? Like, are all 16 teams going to come in on the same level? I feel like the, none of them have had trials. This is essentially a second preseason and a mini preseason. You know, which players stayed more disciplined in the lockdown and came back when they resume training in better shape? I feel like you mentioned the Storm. I feel like this does favour those more disciplined 100%. Sides like the Storm. And again, from a punting perspective, I know that teams might not be as sharp, you know, early rounds, but what you find is when teams don't have match fitness, it does also lead to leaking points late in half. So again, you'd be brave to be betting unders in these early resumed rounds.
Yeah, definitely. And I was going to say the exact same thing. Like, imagine if you were a player on the Storm going through, you know, the break in the season, and I'm sure Bellamy has said to every single one of them, if you guys fuck up during the off season, like, you're done, you're gone. And I bet he's made them keep fit and do their stuff in the off season, whereas other teams, you know, it's easy to see them being a bit more lax in the off season, as we've seen with a few of the off season, the off field issues that have happened. And obviously, just with the shorter season, Jacob, it does create a little bit more variability. I know that there's, you know, it's not a huge, a lot shorter, but it is, you know, a 20% shorter season. So it does allow those, you know, cellar-dwelling teams a bit more chance and I guess a bit more belief that they can actually compete in a shorter season. Is that kind of how you see it?
Yeah, if you're looking at, you know, who's good value and long, you know, season-long prospects, you've got to factor in shorter season. So the obvious one is some teams are 2-0, some are 0-2. Like, that's going to make a big difference of making the 8, making the 4, because there's less games to catch up. I just alluded to, you know, some teams will come into round 3 fitter than others. Well, when there's less games, each game is that much more meaningful. So that could be, you know, a crucial couple of close wins you might pull in these early rounds, just if you can hit the ground running. Another thing is there's going to be a little bit less attrition. You know, does that favor teams that have older players as their best players? Origin is not going to happen through the season, it's going to happen after the season. I feel like that's a massive advantage to teams that have key players playing Origin. You know, Manly springs to mind, and you know, Brisbane usually struggle, even the Roosters, Melbourne, they've got a lot of rep stars. They always just struggle to even tread water through the Origin period, but this time they don't have to worry about that. And I look at a team like, I don't know, Canberra, who's got key players that aren't necessarily in Origin, you know, with the British players, that would have been an advantage to them that they could keep rolling, where now that advantage has been taken away. So that's something else to consider.
And one team that springs to mind, I know that they're 0-2, and that's certainly, you know, not a good place to be in a shortened season, but it is the Roosters. And we said in the preseason pod that, you know, we did expect the Roosters to come out a little bit slow. They'd had a slug over two seasons, you know, playing the World Cup Challenge, back-to-back premiers, and that does take a toll on you. And Boyd Cordner has sat, you know, for resting reasons those first couple of games. So I think more than anything, I know they're in a hole with 0-2, but I think they're a team that certainly benefits from this shorter season, just given that the amount of work that they've had to put in the last couple
absolutely
of seasons.
They get that massive refresher. And I tell you now, if you told Trent Robinson you can get fourth and you can have all your key players fit and ready to go by finals, he would absolutely take that. That's all they need, and they know they will be able to give it a shake. You know, on that as well, the full draw is not yet released, right? They've said who's playing in 3 and 4. So you're playing 20 games, but there's 15 other teams. So you will double up on a 5 other opponents. Now, there's a massive luck factor in that, or on either if you get some double ups against some heavyweights, or on the other side of the coin, getting double ups with some of the easier, you know, easy beats that we can talk about later in this pod. So that's a factor that would affect futures odds as soon as that full draw does get released.
Yeah, 100%. I think they've only released the draw for the next 2 weeks and the venues for the next 6 weeks. So we know those. And talking about the venues, you mentioned this before, you do have some designated home ground. So they're going to be playing the games from rounds 3 to 9 at 6 various stadiums. Now, 5 of those are home grounds of actual teams in the NRL. One's on the Central Coast, and then we'll be playing to empty stadiums. And I guess I'll start. Now, this makes a huge difference. We always talk about, we release our power rankings every week, and, you know, we say that home ground is generally worth about an average of 2.5 points. Now, it's very, very tough to say how much that will reduce, but I think it's got to be at least to a 1 point home field advantage, in my opinion, if you are actually playing in your city and in your stadium. But a lot of teams are going to be playing in their city and not have to travel and be playing, you know, in a stadium other than their own. So there's a lot of factors there, but definitely one of those ones where I'd say that, you know, you might be able to find some lagging odds where, you know, the bookies are generally used to putting up those with the home field advantage. And no one really knows what a home field advantage for an empty stadium is. I mean, we've never really seen this before. What would you put of that, Jacob?
Yeah, I really do think it's case by case. That's two separate things that you spoke about there. So the designated stadiums, to me, like a team like Brisbane, they get to do what they usually do. They get to train at a world-class facility at Red Hill. They get to play at Suncorp Stadium, so they're not disrupted. But a team like Canberra doesn't get to play in Canberra. They got to go play, I can't remember, are they the Central Coast or even have they been moved to the Sydney Stadium? But they're losing any advantage of playing at GIO, and even when they're at home, they've got to travel, right? But then you got the empty stadium factor where Brisbane often, you know, gets, I think, the highest crowds in the league. And that crowd at Suncorp Stadium is a factor. We know, we talk about it so often, and that's been taken away from them. So, you know, teams this year that I thought were going to have really strong home advantages, like Parramatta in their new stadium, yes, they're still playing at Wank Best, but not in front of, you know, a raucous crowd.
Yep.
Knights are always a strong home advantage. Cowboys, and those fans have been taken away. So, and on the other side of it, like the Roosters, they're not used to playing in front of many fans at all.
True.
They're still in Sydney, still in front of empty stadiums, not to make the same joke everyone's made about how it's no different for the Roosters, but the truth is they're not really getting disadvantaged by this, whereas other teams are certainly more than them.
Oh, yeah, definitely. And, I mean, that's what you have to look at with futures odds as well, and we will get into those when we break down the teams. But you mentioned as well, Jacob, that Origin will be after the season. Any thoughts on this? I actually love it. I've thought this for a while, that Origin should just be after the season and not get in the way of the actual season itself, because, you know, you're getting in the way of a number of games there, and the best teams always cop it the hardest. So I actually love this. And I wonder if they'll see after this season and say, well, look, you know, maybe we do just shift Origin to after the season. I know it spreads it out a lot more, but it gives us a much better actual, you know, NRL regular season.
I mean, I haven't thought too much about Origin. It's going to be a hell of a 2 weeks. And I say 2 weeks because you're going to have game one, then a week, then game two, then a week, and then game three. Like, I feel like the attrition of Origin will be a big factor there, because it's not like a game every 3 weeks. If someone gets injured in game one, it could change the series. But again, it's the attrition of the whole season. Queensland has less players to pick from. You're going to get all the way to November before you're picking your teams. Like, are some good players going to be unavailable or just really worn out? But I'll just take footy any way I can get it. I haven't thought too much about Origin. Just bloody cannot wait to watch some NRL action again. I mean, I just wanted to ask, what's the weirdest thing you did or watched in the last couple of months? I'll put my head up and say I was watching bloody 2K, you know, NBA 2K tournament, people playing video games on ESPN. It was slim pickings.
That's pretty grim. I'll go one further and I'll say that I've actually put a bet on table tennis over the break, which is pretty bad. And I'll tell you what else I watched. Someone in the group posted it, but it's like, it's called like Liga Pro or something, and it's some Russian tennis league, and it dead set looks like you playing. Like, these people are not, and you can bet on it, and you can, you know, you can stream it on Bet365, and it is just like, you know, some high school kids playing. That is the standard. Enough about absolute garbage sports. We are getting into what we love, the NRL, and we're just going to break down, you know, all 16 teams once again, and I think it's pertinent to go, let's go from, you know, the ladder leaders in the Eels right down to number 16 for this one. So we'll start with the Eels. They are 2-0. They're $9 to win the comp from here. And they were one of our preseason favourites. I think, you know, both of us picked them to finish top four. You might have even picked them to be the minor premiers, Jacob. Look, they had a tough start to the season. They looked a bit rusty against the Bulldogs, but then they absolutely demolished the Titans round two. Now, it's a young team. They're coming in relatively healthy, you know, Reed Marnie injured, but they reckon he's going to be good to go. I think it's a good thing that they had the break for this Eels team. They had a couple of new recruits over the offseason. I think, you know, even though they haven't been training for that long, it gives them a little bit of extra time to gel than they had already. But I'm still pretty high on the Eels, given what I've seen.
Yeah, ugly win in the season opener and then easy win against the Titans. You don't learn a heap from that. It's hard to definitively say they've made the leap to a true contender, which we think they have. But they've done what you want them to do. Yeah, I mean, a couple guys in question for round three, but no major injury sustained so far in, you know, in the first two rounds or in the break training. So, and the team just looks to have a great energy. There's word coming out of that camp that they really think they can have a special season. And I don't doubt it, and I haven't changed my opinion. I think they're making the grand final this year.
Yep, and that's not crazy given that they're 2-0, and 2-0 means something in a shortened season. And the Knights are second on the ladder. They're also 2-0. They're $23 to win the comp, and don't call me crazy, Jacob, but maybe that seems a touch too high. They look good to start the season, you know, albeit against two subpar opponents in the Tigers and the Warriors. But look, they took care of business, and that's not like the Knights team that we've seen over the last few years. We've seen them lose to some absolutely horrific teams. So, you know, there's a lot to be said with taking care of teams that you should beat, and that's what the Knights have done this year. Look, it's not a great time for Ponga to be missing a game. You know, the first one back against the Panthers, that's going to be a coin toss game, but you know, they get up against the Panthers there, and I think you can pretty much, you know, ride them in for making the eight this year.
And I did predict them to make the eight in the season preview, and we will talk specifically about the round three matchups next week. That'll be, you know, in a week's time, Wednesday night, a day before the season resumes. This is more about just overall prospects. And yeah, very easy win against New Zealand, but you hold a team to zero. That's impressive. And then the next week, they put 42 on the Tigers. So the attack is there, and so is the defense. And Adam O'Brien has definitely made an impact there. You can tell just in the spirit they're playing with. Now, losing Jaden Brayley for the season hurts. That's who you brought in to play nine after they let Levi go. So I'm not sure, is Connor Watson going to have to get shoehorned back into the nine? Barnett is a pretty serious injury. I thought he was due for a breakout season. They get Bradman Best back, which will help. Those injuries are pretty significant, but the start at least still has them on track that they should be thereabouts to make the finals.
Yeah, definitely. And then the third team on the ladder is the Raiders. They are 2-0 to start the season once again, and they've popped up at $5.25 to win the comp. Now, the good and bad news, I guess, for the Raiders. The bad news is that coronavirus has forced them, like you said, Jacob, to not be able to play any home games in Canberra, and that was becoming a fortress in recent years, one of the stronger home field advantages in the comp. But they do catch a huge break in the fact that John Bateman is now really close to returning, and he is a key cog in this Raiders team, we all know, and we've had these 2 months off, and they would have been missing him for those entire 2 months, but everything that you hear out of the Raiders camp is that he's very close to returning, which is a huge boost to this Raiders side. Looked solid to start the season. Once again, played, you know, bottom of the barrel opponents, but only let in a try each game. So this Raiders team, even though I was a little bit down on them to start the season, I probably haven't changed my mind an awful lot, even though Bateman does bump them probably at least half a point.
Yeah, as we've all noticed, the weather's cooling down, and they would have got to play, you know, home games in like some, especially the night games in some bitterly cold Canberra weather. They got a bunch of Poms in that team and guys who are used to the conditions, and that's, you know, been taken away from them. You're right about Bateman. This is the thing we want to, you know, note with every team. Some teams have been really unlucky and had key injuries just in this mini preseason, and they're going to come back weaker than they were in week one and two. Other teams that had a key star like Bateman out essentially have lost them for a lot less games, and it's an advantage. But again, I spoke about how, you know, Raiders, even though they made the grand final last year, probably wouldn't have had many players in Origin. I imagine only Whiten and Papali would have been the only likely Origin players. So that's kind of an advantage taken away, that they could have picked up some cheap wins through that period. But overall, yeah, it's a side that's very strong that I still believe should be thereabouts top four. They played the two easiest, softest kills you could get in round one and two in Titans and Warriors. And we thought they'd start slow. Maybe we're right, but, you know, they didn't play anybody who made them get out of third gear. So I think this little break actually could help them as well get over their grand final hangover.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And moving on to the Storm, they're fourth on the table. They also started the season 2-0, and now they've firmed into premiership favourites. They're sitting at $5 currently. I think they were third favourites to start the season, but obviously starting 2-0 helps. I guess they pick up Momorowski in kind of a weird mid... I don't know if you call it a mid-season trade, but I guess you call it a mid-season trade. But I wanted to talk about the couple of rules changes and Bellamy in particular. And I mentioned before that he is, you know, one of the smartest coaches, but also one of the toughest coaches out there. And look, I think he is going to be able to figure out these rule changes and the ref changes to his team's advantage, I do think. Even though the Storm is known as a wrestling team, I think that he's going to be able to figure out, you know, how the refs are calling it and adjust very well. I also think that we all know Bellamy. He's one of the fucking toughest coaches out there. We've seen the shit that he does on and off the field. And I think that in terms of future prospects and for this season, if there's any team, in my opinion, that is not going to do anything dumb, go out and give themselves more of a chance to catch coronavirus, it's going to be the Storm. He is going to be so strict with those players, and I just think that you have to seriously take into consideration the percentage chances of a player contracting it, because then your team's, you know, pretty screwed. And I think the Storm are lowest on that list.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a discipline factor again. Where's your discipline? I mean, that bird is driving me crazy.
Yep.
So if I can hear the thing cheeping like mad, I don't know why you can't hear it, but you could do myself and all the listeners a favor and close that window. And I absolutely think it's justified that the Storm would be the favorites. I talked about how they're just almost made for this. And you got, you know, I think Munster at this point is their best player, but obviously Cam Smith's still going around. This is only going to do him a world of good to, you know, have an extended kind of refresher and play an abbreviated season. And you talk about how smart Bellamy is, but you've got a coach on the field in Cam Smith. And I know people think the six again rule favors fast dummy halves, but it favors crafty dummy halves as well. And it's like, what about Pappenhausen? You know, we know he loves to get in there and scoot or pick up the ball in the middle of the field and challenge tired forwards. So you're right, there's a lot of things in the Storm's favor, and they're just always tough to beat, and they still get to play in Melbourne. So, and no, mate, they haven't copped any major injuries so far in 2020. Yes, they've shipped Harry Grant to the Tigers and didn't need him. We know they've got Brandon Smith, who not only covers Cameron, but is also a weapon of a forward in his own right off the bench. And Momorowski gives them depth in the outside backs, which was maybe the one area they were thinner. So this team, and I picked them for minor premiers. I think I said the Eels are great value at 11s, and I think I said that come second, but for sure it's a good bet if you're on the Eels. It's a shame that if the season had ended, you could have claimed they won the minor premiership already. But the Storm, I still think, are the class of the competition and will be, right there again at the top at the end of the 20 rounds.
Yep, I agree. Let's move on to the Broncos. They're 2-0 as well to start the season, and they're coming in at $11 now, firmed in a little bit after two pretty impressive wins to start the season, I guess. I thought that Brody Croft looked good, and I wanted to see what he looked like in those first couple of games, and I thought he looked fine. I think this break, even though, you know, they haven't been able to train, it's giving them more time to gel those halves than they would have had, obviously, if there wasn't a break there. And, you know, even though TPJ's out for a few weeks suspended, he was going to be out suspended anyway if we didn't have this break. But you do get Offengawi back. You do get Alex Glenn back. So they're two good additions. And I also kind of think that, you know, this six-again rule could help the Broncos. They have those big, fast forwards getting up for quick play of the balls, getting a roll on. And I think that getting those penalties and six-again could certainly help a team like the Broncos.
And they are a team that I said was fringe top eight before the season, and I had to put them ninth. And then after you watch them in week one and two, I mean, you have to upgrade them. They were so impressive. Round one, bullying the Cowboys. And in round two, they were really undermanned. You talk about Offengawi was out, Tevita Pangai Jr. was out, Lodge, obviously. And they beat a Bunnies team, you know, that was a lot stronger. And, as I said, they're undermanned, come out and win that game. Was impressive for sure. But Fifita has done this knee injury in this second preseason, and he's had to have surgery, and he's going to be out at least a month. TPJ is still out a month with the suspension. We know they lost Jack Bird. And when you have a shorter season, missing a month is pretty significant. But, I mean, if there is also a silver lining or a positive, I mean, what about Matt Lodge? Does his ACL in the preseason, and then it turns out to be a partial tear. He foregoes the surgery, which, you know, you hope that doesn't affect him, his long-term career, but he's made that decision. And that's going to allow him to possibly even be back for round three, but if not very soon. And I've always felt he's a very underrated, you know, beast in that in what's already a monstrous forward pack. So Brisbane, based on what we've seen, is definitely a, you know, top eight caliber side, even though they're going to have two rep players out for the first 4 weeks.
Yes, completely agree, and I've upgraded the Broncos as well. I do now firmly believe that they could be contenders this year. The Panthers, the last 2-0 team on the list, they've come in at $15 to win the comp after the break, and it's been a tumultuous sort of break for the Panthers. You know, don't want to get into the off-field stuff too much, but they will miss Cleary for 2 games, and, you know, they're important games. You know, 2 games is 10% of the season in a shortened season, and the first one's against the Knights, that's fairly tough, and the second one is against the Warriors, and you don't want to kind of give yourself any chance of losing these games in a short season to teams like the Warriors, which they will here. I guess the one plus is that the break has, you know, given time for Dylan Edwards to get back from an ankle injury, and, you know, without Cleary, I know you've got Matt Burton in there, that's fine, but he's not really too much of a playmaker. So I guess getting Dylan Edwards back for those first couple of games is a welcome boost for this Panthers team. But overall, pretty, I guess, you know, downgrade them for having their best player miss a couple of games to start the season. It's going to be tough for them.
Yeah, I think they'll be all right. Like, I really liked the energy that they played with this year. Really positive signs. They needed to come back. I think both games are down 8 to 10 points at least when they beat the Roosters in round one and the Dragons in round two. But you're going to get a lot of confidence from the ability to come back where the old Panthers wouldn't have got those themselves back in those games. They have no other major injuries. So, yeah, Cleary will hurt Buffield. They'll get their way past the Warriors. So it kind of feels like they're just going to miss him for one game. And when you do have, yeah, a couple other playmakers and maybe Jerome Luai can play the seven. Yep. I'd say this team would be a top eight side, and I don't, you know, have any reason to change my opinion on them at this point.
No, I probably don't either, especially when you're 2-0. It's a huge boost in a short season, like you said. Moving on to the Cowboys. They're 1-1, and they've come in at $23 to win the comp. Seems probably about fair to me. I guess they had some good and bad news during the break. You've got Michael Morgan. He's still going to be out for a few more weeks. But, I mean, the good news is he was able to get surgery, and we've said for a few years now that he hasn't been just completely right. So maybe, just maybe, he's had the time, he's got this surgery, he should be out for a few more weeks, and look, hopefully for the Cowboys, he comes back better than ever, because a few years ago, he was arguably the best player in the comp on the back end. And I think it's good as well. You get Valentine Holmes a few more weeks of practice, and he looked rusty as fuck coming into the first 2 rounds, and he really struggled under the high ball, and I think, you know, when you can pinpoint some stuff, some very specific stuff that your best players are bad at, and then you get a couple of months to really work on that, that's huge. And I think that they could pinpoint that Valentine Holmes really struggled under those high balls. They would have told him, go home, I don't care if it's lockdown, go out in the yard and practice that. And I think that they should be better off for it.
Yeah, that will be an advantage to them, as well as they get to stay put in Townsville to play their games. They were out-muscled in week one, and we spoke about that. Players around Taumalolo have to step up for this team to be successful. It wasn't the case in round one. They were solid against the Dogs, but I will say the Dogs were really sloppy, made so many errors that they wouldn't have really beat anybody in round two. So I'm yet to be impressed by the Cowboys. Losing Morgan hurts a bit, but you're lucky that you have Clifford, who's been blooded and played a couple of seasons, played plenty of games now, and he can come back into the halves and could work well with Drinkwater. And then there's even a possibility that Clifford can earn a spot and maybe Morgan can come back and play in the centres, which is where he has played at rep level. So that should be able to be something they can cover, but it's still the same question marks that I've posed before the season. It's who else in the forward pack stepping up alongside Taumalolo to make this side a legit, you know, team that can beat the good teams in the competition.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the same kind of goes for this Rabbitohs side. They're 1-1 as well, and they're $13 to win the comp. We were a little bit down on them to start the season. And, you know, we had a plus money bet on them to miss the eight. And similar sort of, you know, reasons, you know. Reynolds is getting older every year, and the forward pack is just not what it used to be. Now, with the break, I mean, Luttrell is going to be good to go for round three now. Doesn't cop a suspension or whatever you call it, a game suspension, and he doesn't get it. But he really looked out of sorts in the first 2 rounds. So I'm not sure what they're going to have to do with him moving into round three and into the future of this season. But I don't know if he's going to have improved his fitness an awful lot in lockdown. So there's huge question marks for me about this Rabbitohs side. One thing that I have thought is that perhaps the rule change of the waving the six again could benefit a team like the Rabbits. I think they give away very minimal ruck infringement, and they've got, you know, one of the quickest, craftiest dummy halves in Damien Cook. So in terms of that rule change, I think that could favour the Rabbitohs, but they are really going to need to figure out what to do with Luttrell, and it'll be interesting to see how he looks in round three, because that'll give us a gauge of what he's been doing, you know, in lockdown in terms of fitness and stuff.
Yeah, before the season, we're probably a little more optimistic, you know, giving them credit for how well this team has played the last two or three seasons, even with a changing of the guard. Talk about, you know, Sam Burgess has retired, obviously, the year before it was Inglis. And they started the year so-so, I suppose, like a very close win against the Sharks, which they easily could have lost, and then a close win against the Broncos, which they probably should have won, and they had to be disappointed, because I mentioned that Brisbane had a lot of forwards out, and they had a forward pack average age of 20 and still won that game. They don't have any major injuries, but it's well publicised. Luttrell, even though he's back, like, what's his headspace and what's his fitness? James Roberts, I'm not sure if he's missing games. I dare say he would be. And the latest one's Cody Walker. So that's not great. I mean, before the season, there was still a possibility Jai Arrow could get an early release. That's not looking likely either. So there was more to be optimistic about before round one than there is before round three, that's for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Let's move on to the Tigers. They started the season 1-1. They are $34 to win the comp. I think that is throwing away money. From what I've seen from the Tigers this year, I know that they were a team that I was down on coming into the season. I did not think that they would make the eight, and I still don't think they're going to make the eight. I just feel like this Tigers team is a team that hasn't quite found their identity with this group of players. I mean, I know that in years past they were, you know, a hard-nosed defensive team. You knew that if you went out and played the Tigers, you could maybe score 6 points and win the game, you know, because this Tigers team would just be solid, a really good defensive team. But is that the team that they want to be? Or they fucking leaked 56 points in the first two games, you know, and now they've had to make, you know, a couple of positional changes to see if that works better. So I don't think that's a good thing for a shortened season, because when you're making these changes now, you've got less time to figure it out, less time for those changes to gel. So I don't like this Tigers team at all going forward.
Yeah, they were impressive in round one to beat the Dragons, I think, because Luke Brooks was a late scratch and Benji showed he still got something to offer. So that's, you know, and Moses Mbai didn't take part in the first couple of rounds, and he's the captain, so that's going to add to the team as well. But you're right, let in over 40 points against the Knights. That's not the Tigers, and that's not the team that Madge wants, you know, to build or to cultivate. They don't have any major injuries, and it'll be interesting to see how they incorporate Harry Grant, and obviously Billy Walters is in that team too, and he's an exciting young prospect. But it's just a team with a limited ceiling, we've said multiple times, and I don't think they're going to be challenging for the eight. They'll make you earn it on any given week, but it's not, yeah, not the most talented roster in the NRL by a long shot.
Yeah, definitely. And let's get to a talented roster that is 1-1. It's the last team that's 1-1 on the ladder. It's the Manly Sea Eagles. They are $11 to win the comp. Seems short, you might say. I actually think this break's been really good for the Sea Eagles. I came into the season having my doubts, you know, Turbo Brothers, injuries, etc. But I think this break is huge, and I think the shortened season is huge for Manly. You know, we know that, you know, Tommy has had some issues with injuries, etc. Same with Jake. And now they get a shortened season, less chance of getting injured, and a bit more time to let those surgeries heal. On top of that, I think I had some worries about Dylan Walker at the six. This gives them a bit more time to gel there as well. And I also think that in a shortened season, like I said with the Tigers, when you have, you know, changes in your roster, or you have, you know, roster turnaround or whatever, when a shortened season, you have less time for those things to gel. Manly is a team that did not have much turnover in the offseason. They've kept pretty much the same team that they had last year. So I think that a shortened season benefits them as well, because they don't need to get into gear. They've already got all that chemistry going.
Yeah, and they started the season mixed bag as well. Two reasonably close games. I think the score blew out against the Storm, and straight away it looked to me like, oh, they miss Appy Coruscant here. And Tommy Turbo has obviously had a short preseason because he didn't look himself. And then in week two, Tommy Turbo went ballistic and was a monster in a in a 9-8 grind out win against the defending champs, the Roosters. So they'd be happy at 1-1. Fayunu still stood down, so they need Danny Levi to have a big year for them, because, as I said, they do miss Coruscant. Gajetsky has had complications with surgery he had, but other than that, they're relatively fit in their key players. And as I mentioned before, just think, like, to Daly Cherry-Evans, Jake Trbojevic, Tom Trbojevic were all going to be out multiple games and gone through rigors of an Origin series in the middle of this season. That's no longer going to be the case. This Manly team's legit, and last year they came fifth and could have gone even further in the finals if not for, you know, the sin binning and controversy late in that Rabbitohs game. And they had injuries galore through the season. So if they do keep everyone on the park, they can challenge for the premiership this season.
Totally agree. And I think that was our biggest, or well, my biggest concern with that Sea Eagles team anyway. It was just, you know, one of those big three getting injured. And, you know, when you have a two-month break and you have a shortened season, it just reduces those chances. Let's move on to the Sharks. 0-2, $34 to win the comp. We were a bit down on the Sharks this year, and similar sort of thing to the Seagulls, except on a much grander scale. I was down on the Sharks just because their whole roster is injury, you know, either injury riddled or injury prone. But I think the break has been great for them, and I'm not saying that the Sharks are certainly going to make the eight or anything, but I think it's one team that has benefited a lot from the 2 month layoff and the shortened season. You know, less chance of injuries after having the break and the short season. But not only that, you get back three of your stars. You get back Matt Moylan, you get back Dugan, and you get back Cherry. So I think, you know, the Sharks have got to absolutely be stoked. Not saying that, you know, I all of a sudden love this Sharks team, but it's not as much of a bet against team when they're healthy.
And because we don't really see them as an elite level team, more a team that is going to be fighting for the eight, it hurts that they've started the season with two close games and lost them both. Yes. And they dead set could have won them both. Like the Bunnies game I spoke about earlier, and then they lost to the Storm by, what was it? Was it a field goal or two? No, it was a penalty, mm-hmm. late penalty goal in a grinder of a game where they had a 6-point lead late. So we predicted a tough year, but you actually have to give them credit for that, the way they did perform. Again, a little bit undermanned in the first two rounds. No major injuries other than Cameron King did do the ACL in the preseason, which was tough. Which means Blake Brayley is the 80-minute hooker on this side. But again, it's just a team, I want to see it to believe it with a few of these guys. Like you talk about stars, you know, Josh Dugan or Moylan or Johnson. It's been a while since we've seen those guys, you know, play their best. If they can, this team could be dangerous. But it's a bit of a wait-and-see team for me.
Yeah, definitely. And I think either way, if you're a Sharks fan, you'd rather them be on the field than off, that's for sure. Let's move on to the Roosters. They were 0-2, surprisingly enough, and they're $6.50 to win the comp now. I think that's probably fair given the shorter season. The break could not have come at a better time for the Roosters. I said this earlier. After a couple of brutal seasons and, you know, just, you know, winning back-to-back premierships takes it out on you. And the break couldn't have come at a better time for them. You get Poy Cordner, you can rest him for a number of months, you get all your players to rest, and now you have a short season you can key in, and there's not going to be as much fatigue for this Roosters side. So although they're 0-2, you know, you lost to the Panthers, it's a solid team, and we picked the Panthers in that one. You lose to the Seagulls in a close one. But either way, I think that this Roosters team is not one that you want to face early on. I think they're going to be super keyed in. They know what it takes to win a comp. And now that it's a shortened season and they're 0-2, I would not want to be either the Rabbits or the Broncos in the first couple of weeks who the Roosters are playing.
That's right. We said that start slow for sure for those, you know, reasons of how taxing the last couple of years have been. But make no mistake, like that Panthers and Seagulls losses were very close games. The Roosters could still be 2-0 with a couple, you know, bounces differently. And they clearly missed Latrell Mitchell. He was really good the last couple of years. Clearly you miss Cooper Cronk and missed Cordner as well, because he hasn't, you know, taken part in any games for them this season so far. On top of that, Billy Smith was an up-and-coming, you know, young outside back that was going to integrate into this team, and Satili Tupanua, up-and-coming back row, and they're both pretty much done for the season. But you pick up Josh Morris, he can cover in the centres, and then that allows the Angus Crichton experiment to probably end and put him back in the back row. So they're pretty well covered, and they are still going to be incredibly hard to beat, and I think they'll still pick up a lot of key wins. You know, it's funny how you say that they are going to be well positioned. You wonder if a guy like Cooper Cronk just thinks to himself, you know, short season, you know, would I come back and have a chance to win three comps in a row? I feel maybe he's gone out, you know, at the top on his terms, so maybe I'm just, you know, pissing in the wind. But that'd be interesting. Because what if he was? I think anyone's still got till June 30 to rejoin a team. But I guess my point is that this side certainly does not need to panic and will relish with the extra time off, as you said.
And it would be perfect. You come back for a shortened season, you play 18 rounds with the most talented roster in the comp. Wouldn't be a bad idea.
And they'd give him a game off every 2 months.
They probably would.
As well.
They probably would. Let's move on to the Dragons. They started the season 0-2, and they've come in at 101 to win the comp. Look, the Dragons are not going to win the comp, and I don't like the Dragons, but let me know if I'm crazy, Jacob. I want to bet on the Dragons to start the season. Not to start in the very first game, but I think that the Dragons are coming in a little bit underrated here. Bad start to the season. You're up 14-6 to the Tigers, you lose. Then you're up 28-18 against the Panthers, you know, with 10-12 minutes left. You lose. So I think that either of those games could have gone either way. Probably Dragons should have won them. They didn't. So, you know, you get a little bit of value there. Also think that the break has been decent for them, you know. You only had to use Isaac Luke twice at hooker, and now you get back a healthy McInnes. Tarek Sims is good to go now, Corbin Sims. And you get a fairly soft start to the season in the Warriors and the Bulldogs. So maybe that'll give them some confidence. But look, the Dragons are not a team that I want to back to win the comp, but I think they are a team that I want to back in the first few weeks of the season while they're still a bit underrated.
Yeah, I agree. I think that they do present real value, and they're a bit like the Sharks. We didn't think they'd have a good year, and then they came out and actually did play well in the first two rounds and lost games that they easily were in positions to win. And when you are a team that's kind of on the brink and you just need a bit of confidence into the squad, there's nothing worse than like losing a couple of heartbreaking games in a row. So it was the worst possible start. You'd almost rather play terribly in one game and then play a bit better the next week, obviously, and split the results. But to lose two close ones really hurts. But as you say, McInnes was meant to miss like the first 10 weeks of the season, but now obviously he's pretty much going to be good to go for round three, and he's their best player. So that is a big positive, as well as the fact that no other key players are injured. I'm with you. This could be a team that your average punter doesn't rate, but they could give you value for money.
Completely agree. Let's move on to the Doggies. 0-2 start to the season, and they've come in at 151-1. Another team that is just not going to win the comp. I was a little bit down on the Bulldogs to start the season. From what I've seen, they haven't been able to change my mind. I guess good and bad news for the for the Doggies. Harawira Inara and Okumbor are now officially, you know, deregistered by the NRL, so they're not coming back. And they were two talented players for the Bulldogs side, and I guess if you're a Bulldogs fan, you would have had some hopes that they would find their way back into the lineup. Plus, Joe Stimpson now might be out for the season. I guess the one good thing is that the always injured Kieran Foran has given his shoulder a little bit more time to heal, and I think that what are they saying, Jacob? I don't know if you know that he might be back for round three or maybe round four. So the Bulldogs, I haven't changed my mind in the first two rounds about them, and I didn't like the Bulldogs coming into the season. I think you had a different take on it, Jacob.
Yeah, well, the season's not started well for them. Close loss against the Eels. They were in that game. I think it was like 2-2 after
an
hour. And then, as I said, woeful in week two against the Cowboys. And a team that doesn't have a lot of really quality first grade players to lose, especially Harawira Inara, on the eve of the season, was a killer. Chris Smith also did his knee in the Indigenous game. And you mentioned Stimpson, who you recruit and could have had a big year. He's out for the season. I want to be optimistic about Foran. You know, if there was another thing that you could criticize about the Dogs, it was their halves were lacking, especially in attack. Like, Wakeham and Lewis hold their own in defense, and it's a good defensive team that makes you earn points, but they needed more in attack. And I'm going to be optimistic. You know, I was a big fan of Foran in his younger years. It's hard to keep believing in him because of the amount of injuries he's had, but if there was ever a time for one kind of final stand, off of this nice break, he could add something in terms of leadership and creativity in attack. So that should at least be an improvement. But the forward pack which should have been their strength, is a bit depleted with the guys they've lost already in 2020.
Yep, let's move on to the Warriors. They started the season 0-2. They are $201 to win the comp. I don't know what to do with this Warriors side. I mean, we saw them in round 1 and 2. They didn't look great, and they could not have had a more disruptive start to the season, a more disruptive, you know, break. I mean, a lot of these other teams were able to go home to their families and whatnot, but the Warriors were stuck here and then, you know, had to go all sorts of different places. So that is a huge distraction, don't get me wrong, and it's probably a little bit fatiguing being away from home for that long, not knowing whether, you know, you're going to play, not knowing whether you're not, whether you can go back to New Zealand or not. So that's a huge distraction for this Warriors side. But I really, look, things can't get much worse for them, okay? So I want to really watch their round one game, because whatever they were doing before and last year was not working. So I'm very interested to see what their mindset is and what their effort level is coming into round three, because, you know, maybe this break has done wonders to team chemistry and to their effort levels and stuff like that. So I'd really want to watch closely this. Don't know if I want to bet it, but the Warriors first game back, and then I think judge whether we want to make them a bet on or bet against team from there.
Yeah, mentality is always a question with them, and they got smashed in round one, but there was a suggestion that the team had basically been told, you know, there was a lot more fears of Corona at that time, and they kind of were made aware they wouldn't be going home, and they had a whack headspace at that night's game. And then they were competitive. They showed effort in a 10 or 14 point loss to the Raiders. I think there was a try right on the siren in that one, because I think that cost us winning a best bet.
It did.
But it's not just that. It's Leeson Armau got injured. Adam Kieran's been injured. Tuvunga, who's so important to this team, is injured. On top of they lost Bunty Afoa earlier. Lasone left the team. So that's tough. I know there's some rumors swirling around about whether they might get a couple of cameos into this team, but I guess we can judge that, you know, if and when it happens. But again, it's not a team that many punters want to back. So you don't just want to blindly go against them, because it's usually not value. I think you're dead right that you want to see what kind of spirit they play with and whether this whole ordeal has galvanized them and now they're in camp, and whether they can kind of play, throw caution to the wind, no pressure, and with everyone appreciating what they do. And that includes us. We're footy fans and we appreciate the sacrifice the Warriors are making to allow this competition to happen.
Absolutely. And the last team on the list, and number 16 on the ladder, are the Titans. They are 0-2 to start the season, and they are $500 to win the comp. Another team where there's just been a ton of off-field drama during this break. And, you know, most of the time, I'd say 80% of the time, off-field drama is not good for, you know, your on-field play. And I think it's going to have a negative effect on this team. Whereas with the Warriors, you know, you could see that there's a way that, you know, this could bring the team together. I think, you know, with the Titans, I know that they're, you know, Cartwright's been given the exemption now to play without getting the jab. But Jesus Christ, I really wonder if that's going to cause some tensions within the team. And it's just going to have been a lot of off-field drama and distractions. And it's going to be negative for a team that really can't afford any more distractions than they already have with their terrible play. So I don't know if I want to bet on the Titans early on, even though I know I'm getting juicy odds.
I think that was just also a symptom of there was no sport on. So any little incident that you're going to read, you know, 20 different variations or articles about it. And it was a bit of a beat up in the end that they made this huge deal about whether he couldn't play. And then after all that, he got an exemption and he is playing. And if his teammates were going to turn his back on him now, they didn't turn their backs on him when he would just refuse to make tackles, you know, in the last couple of years. So
I'm sure they wanted to.
To me, that's not the big thing. The big thing is AJ Brimson with this back injury. That's really cruel. He's a guy who you knew was going to keep improving. He's on an upwards trajectory, and that really hurts them because they don't have a lot of match winners in that team, and he was a guy who could be one. And that's on top of losing your captain, Ryan James, in the preseason. And they got smashed by the Raiders and the Eels, who are two quality outfits. But it's hard to say whether Holbrook has got this team turning a corner yet. So a shortened season, again, it's another team with nothing really to lose. You want to see them rip in, but how confident can you be betting on the Titans? You know, we've seen it, how brutal that can be. It's not good for your health betting on this team for the last couple of years. So you want to pick your spots wisely. And that's, you know, what we do each week. We we deep dive and we dissect every game to find out when the best time is to back every team and to go against every team, because it's a long season and there's opportunities galore.
Definitely. And that'll wrap it, guys. That's all 16 teams. Just a quick preview. We'll be back next Wednesday. It's going to be a good one. That's going to be a breakdown of round three. I'm pretty sure, did we win money both round one and two, Jacob?
We did.
So we're going for three in a row. It's been a long break. We've been itching for this for quite some time. You know, obviously we do our best work during the NRL season. So next Wednesday, 6 p.m., we're going to be there for the round three preview. Make sure you join us on this page. You can also find us on YouTube and in the Tripod app. Jacob, anything you want to say before we get out of here?
Well, I will just say, if you are psyched for the season and you haven't heard our season preview, it's still very relevant. I re-listened to us preview the 2020 season. As I said, well, I think we're on the money with vast majority of these teams. Our opinions haven't changed too much. So there's lots of good information in that. And as you say, we'll be back in a week to preview round three. But I hopefully I've got an interview lined up, actually, which should come out Sunday. And I won't say who, just until I've got it locked in, but it's someone who's played over 20 times for Queensland and over 20 times for Australia Rugby League, and we're going to pick his brain about his career, but also about his thoughts on the 2020 season. I'm going to get that up, so just stay tuned for that. Hopefully that should be up Sunday, which will get you used to our Sunday pods, because of course following round three and every round after that, we'll be doing our instant reactions on Sunday evening.
Excellent. And I think if you do that pod, Jacob, it won't be on this page, it'll be on the Tripod page, correct?
No, I'll put it up because it's rugby league, so it'll be on there. It'll be zero fucks given. No worries. People will find it.
Excellent. And if you enjoyed this one but you would rather listen without looking at our faces, this is also available as a podcast. Look, guys, thanks again for joining us tonight, and we will see you again either on Sunday for Jacob's interview, but definitely on Wednesday at 6 p.m. next week to break down round three. See you then.
Lego.